We Stagger, We Shine. Written by Black Cat. Read by Opalsong. Fandom, Star Wars. Rating, Teen. Relationship, Kit Fisto, Monk, and Kit Fisto, Monk, John Antilles. Also tagged for Dragon Jedi, Alternate Universe, Dragons, Hurt Comfort, Aggressive Cuddling, Implied or Referenced Torture. It's very vague. Part 8 of the Luminous Beings Are We series. The generals are missing? Monk asks, his heart lodged somewhere in his throat. One general, Rex corrects, and he looks mildly relieved about this. Since he spent more than 10 minutes with Skywalker, Monk sympathizes, but General Fisto doesn't go missing, he says, and this much he knows without hesitation or reserve. Because Kit Fisto might be the most easygoing of generals, but he would never abandon his troops, especially right before a mission. They leave tomorrow, a joint assault on a base that covers the shore and stretches for a kilometer underwater, and Kit would never leave his troopers to face that alone. Rex just shrugs, following close behind as Monk grabs the pack with Kit's extra clothes, turns and heads for the cove the general's been particularly fond of while they've been camped here. General Skywalker's been looking for him all morning. He's not answering his comm, and no one's seen him. Kit had gone for a swim this morning. Monk knows. He'd said goodbye to Monk personally, told him where he'd be, and that he was going to put on his scales for a bit. It's hardly something unusual when they're stationed near a large body of water. There's usually enough seafood to make up for the energy burned by the change, and Kit takes full advantage of it. But if he's hurt, especially as a dragon, Monk has no idea how to get him back to the surface. Even a full squad likely won't be enough. Kit is a big dragon. Maybe he just fell asleep in the sand, Monk says, because that's the best possible scenario. Ahead of them, rocks drop off sharply, but Kit showed Monk the way down, and he vaults over one of the lower points, then clambers down the rock face as carefully as he can. Down here? Rex asks incredulously, but follows gamely through, swinging over and skidding down a sharp slope until Monk grabs him and hauls him to his feet. Jedi can't fly, but they climb well, Monk says with a flicker of humor, and Rex snorts, leaning over to peer down the face of the cliff. Is there even sand down there? He asks warily. A cove, Monk tells him. Plenty big enough for whatever the general wants to do. He found it while we were setting up an underwater perimeter. He'd promptly drag Monk there, too. Not that all that much dragging was required. Monk's always happy to see Kit's dragon form, and Kit loves to put his head in Monk's lap and get his whiskers scratched. It's cute. It's cripping cute. And if someone back on Kamino had told Monk that his foremost reaction to his general turning into a dragon would be how adorable, He probably would have punched them. He has to forgive his past self, though. His past self had never met Kit, and Kit is cute and sweet and the most charming sentient Monk has ever encountered. Obviously, Kit would defy all assumptions. With a grunt, Monk lets go of the rocks, drops the last 10 feet into the deep sand, and straightens as Rex lands beside him. There's an archway of tide-worn stone, just barely big enough for troopers in armor. Monk has to turn sideways to fit, and Rex has to squeeze through, pauldrons scraping. But they make it. On the other side, the narrow strip of sand becomes a wide beach with a gentle slope, scattered with dark stones. Trees grow sideways up the cliff, and the tide is going out, leaving huge, half-buried trunks stained dark with seawater. And, in between the natural nest made by the driftwood, there are two dragons. For one heart-stopping moment, Monk thinks they're walking into the aftermath of a fight, thinks the coiled, tangled limbs are still in death, that they've fallen and been carried in by the tide, and Kit is... But then, with a low, thrumming croon, the deep green and silver dragon moves, winding a little tighter around the other, and the black dragon, all tattered wings and looping limbs, and dark hide scarred with white, keens softly, and lets Kit cocoon him in green scales. Kit's larger, for all that the black dragon is longer, and he wraps himself around the other Jedi, silver-veined wing fins spreading out to cover them. The black dragon nestles close, tucking his head into the curve of Kit's neck, and Kit croons again, nuzzling him gently and settling his head on top of the black dragon's. Huge dark eyes settle on Monk, who swallows. He can feel the intimacy here, the protection in the spread of Kit's fins, and he sinks down into the sand on his knees, not taking so much as a step closer. Kit knows him, would never attack, but this isn't Monk's to intrude on. "Carking hells," Rex breathes, and with a soft thump, he hits the sand next to Monk. "They're way griffing bigger than the commander." Monk snorts, amused. But before he can answer, Kit chuckles. The black dragon stirs, but Kit nudges them back down, nuzzling one of their scars until they settle, and then looks back at Monk and Rex. "Is something wrong, Monk?" he asks softly. The other dragon's tattered wings, and Monk can't tell if they're that way naturally or if they've been shredded, but they're not bleeding, at least. Flicker, and they turn their head. But Kit rumbles gently and tucks the other dragon a little more tightly against him, very obviously not about to let go. "General Skywalker was looking for you, sir," Monk says. "I got worried." "Ah, my apologies," Kit murmurs. "I found a lost friend on my morning swim and may have gotten distracted." The black dragon grumbles something, but it's quiet, and Kit chuckles. Gently, carefully, he butts their heads together and says, "Come back to camp with me, John. We could use your assistance in the coming fight, and I would prefer to keep you close, my friend." Monk glances at Rex, only to find him looking back, clearly just as confused as Monk is. There aren't supposed to be other Jedi in this sector, and there definitely weren't any reports of other Jedi needing assistance to the point where they would be thought dead. John is silent and still for a moment, then huffs, uncoiling his long body and climbing to his feet. He shakes out his wings as Kit rises, but Kit doesn't hesitate. He curls over John, around him, twisting their necks together and tucking his head under John's as he croons. It makes John purr, low and desperate, as he noses into Kit. And Monk feels awkward, unsettled by the intimacy, even in their dragon forms. It's clear and overwhelming and almost gutting, but in a good way. Monk and Kit have fallen into bed a few times, relieving stress or enjoying each other's bodies. And this is all of those times distilled down, the pure relief and joy of a reunion. It's not the kind of thing that makes Monk jealous, though. He just looks at it and feels soft, like he wants to share that and be able to feel that joy. Then, with a shivering wash of light from Kit and a twist of shadows from John, the dragon shapes break apart. Monk can't quite pinpoint the moment when they shift. Everything is hazy, uncertain. But between one moment and the next, the dragons are gone. Kit takes a step, catching a Jedi with tangled dark hair as he staggers, and sweeps him up in his arms. John is a big man, definitely not slight, but Kit cradles him against his chest, and John wraps his arms around Kit's neck, clinging. Monk gets one glimpse of scarred hands, dark hair over shoulders covered in welts, and then looks down, comes to his feet, approaching Kit, and glances at him for permission. Kit watches him for a long moment, then smiles, inclining his head. With a smile in return, Monk steps close, pulling the extra cloak from his pack and drapes it over the other Jedi. "Should I get a medic, sir?" he asks softly. Kit pauses, looking down at John, and his expression is sad. "Perhaps the 501st would be willing to spare their medic to look John over," he suggests, eyes warm. "Kix has a better bedside manner than Shark, I'm afraid." "That's the way Shark likes it," Monk says dryly, and Kit chuckles. "Anything I need to alert him about in particular?"
"An infiltration that ended poorly,"
Kit says, soft, and when John makes to lift his head, Kit hums, pressing his cheek to John's dark hair. "But John will be all right."
"Thanks to you," John says,
hoarse. He has a soft voice, softer than Monk would have expected, and when he turns his head and opens his eyes, they're pale, pale blue. They settle on Monk for a moment, and then John says,
"Thank you for the cloak."
"Of course," Monk says, and smiles at him. "It's nice to finally see another dragon in their scales. You're beautiful." John's eyes widen, and he jerks his head back towards Kit, but Monk can see the red rising in his cheeks, the way his fingers curl against Kit's shoulders. It's, well, cute. Monk's maybe starting to realize he's got particular tastes, and cute dragons is all of them. Rex is staring still. Monk ignores him, raising his calm as Kit carries John past, heading for the archway. A brief message to Kix assures Monk that the medic will be waiting at the top of the cliff, and then Monk follows his general. "Come on, Vod," he says to Rex, clasping his shoulder and half-hauling him to his feet. "You should let Skywalker know we found General Fisto."
"And a friend," Rex says, dry, but he doesn't hesitate to fall into step.
Monk watches his general, naked and uncaring, with the other Jedi cradled in his arms. Thinks of the way they looked as dragons, tangled together, taking comfort in each other. And smiles.
"And a friend," he agrees,
and quickens his pace, catching up with Kit and touching his elbow lightly.
"Should I get my things out of your tent, Kit?"
he asks quietly. Kit looks at John, flicks a glance up at Monk.
"I like to think we can all share," he says, smiling. "There is no thing as too much comfort, yes? And you are very good at it, Monk."
Monk snorts, but takes the compliment.
"As long as you're okay with it, sir," he says to John.
John doesn't look at him, but nods once.
"Kit likes you," he says,
rough. Doesn't add, "That's good enough for me," but Monk can hear it in his tone.
and he can't help a flicker of warmth that rises in response. Kit's tentacles brush his arm, loop around his wrist for a moment before they release, and Monk turns his hand, catches one of them, and squeezes gently in return. "I like him too," he says honestly, and thinks he catches the faintest flicker of a smile on John's face. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening.